Welcome to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast with Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and founder and president of West Coast Baptist College.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us for another edition of the Spiritual Leadership Podcast. And I love this time every month, and we hope to bring something to you that will enrich your life and challenge you as a leader. And I was saying to our church family last night that the term spiritual leader is something that we began using about 30 years ago as we had been exposed to some leadership styles and conferences that were Christian but not necessarily spiritual. And I believe that something that's spiritual, it can have a saltiness to it, but it should have an edification factor as well. And that's our hope today. And that's why I'm so glad to have our guest today, Jeff Templeton, with us. And we're going to be talking today about how we can learn and grow spiritually through traveling to biblical lands. And Jeff, I've just so enjoyed working with you and Templeton Tours over the years. And really, my first exposure to Templeton Tours was with Tommy Burgess. And Tommy arranged some of our, not necessarily biblical tours, but the tours we took to Alaska with large groups. And dear man that went home to be with the Lord too early for us, yes. But the Lord's timing's always right. But if you don't mind just sharing a little bit of your story as far as, you know, how you got involved in this type of work and then took over the company and so forth, and maybe some of the things you've done. And then we're going to talk about some things we've learned along the way.
Very good. Well, Pastor, thank you. I appreciate you having me here today to discuss Christian travel. So my story goes back to my family. My uncle Maurice Templeton started Templeton Tours back in the late 70s, early 80s, when he traveled to Israel as just a layperson, came back with the thought that he could do a better job than the company he went with. Mm-hmm. And so he started arranging tours to Israel. From that, it grew into a company that did Israel tours, and from that into a company that got involved in Christian cruising and gospel music. And so Templeton Tours was born in the early 80s. So it's something that he had a passion for as a believer, and got. He was also a singer, sang in a group called the 11th Hour, okay. Singers back in the day. And so he had a lot of industry friends that wanted to travel. And so it kind of all worked out well. He had an accounting background. So for him, it was just it was a good way to make a living and also provide a service to believers.
Is he still living?
Maurice is still living. He's okay. 89 and doing well. Still travels with me on the cruises, not so much to the Holy Land. Right. He's been there close to 100 times, and I think he's done with the long travel, but
I would assume
good health.
He mentored you along the way.
Very much so, very much so.
And I know you did large cruises like with Charles Stanley and
Correct.
Folks of that nature, and then you've done smaller groups as well.
So over the years, the company has grown as the groups turned into charters and charters turned into multiple charters. Yeah. And so the world's changed a little bit now. As the ships are getting bigger, it's harder to do a full ship charter. So a lot of the trips we do now, the Journeys of Paul we'll be discussing, is more of a group-based travel where you're on a regular cruise, but you're a Christian group traveling within that normal itinerary doing Christian activities.
I know as a pastor, I've appreciated the fact that, you know, all the back work is done by your company from the standpoint of reservations and all the questions that come up and the billing processes and, you know, working with the guides on various sites and the integrity of your company is a blessing. You know, the Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than gold and silver, and certainly, you know, you've worked hard to keep that, so.
That's a blessing. Thank you, I appreciate you saying so. That is very important. My name is on the company, and yeah. So therefore, I take it personally.
That's right, yeah. And it's very obvious to me. And, you know, one of the things that I really wanted to talk with our friends today about is the fact that it's more than taking a trip, especially when most of us who are in the ministry step foot into Bible lands. You know, for me, I remember the first time we went to the Holy Land, and Tommy had helped us with a lot of that. And suddenly I began to realize, for example, how close things were. And, you know, you kind of put in your mind, okay, well, Bethlehem's really only 4 miles or whatever from Jerusalem. And you begin to, you know, have some scope involved there. And I remember, you know, standing in the Valley of Elah and kind of picturing, you know, David and Goliath. And then coming home and reading through these same passages and you know, it really, I felt, helped me as a preacher. And I think, you know, back to the Holy Land times, and I have not been there nearly as much as you. I think you've been there several dozen times, but I absolutely love, of course, the empty tomb, the garden tomb, but there was something about the Garden of Gethsemane. And I mean, I just was overwhelmed with what Jesus said there, you know, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And I remember, you know, praying similar words and thinking what Jesus had on him. And of course, you know that some of the olive trees there in that garden date back, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years. And so you can get the sense of it. And then, of course, so many other places along the route that you just would pause and realize that we serve a mighty God. And so I believe that it's something that should be experienced by especially people who teach the Word. I know Terry, you know, my wife is a Sunday school teacher, and she kept wanting to stop the tour bus all the time. And she never pulls rank. She's a very humble woman, but I remember she saw a sycamore tree at Jericho, and she said, "We've got to stop." I said, "Honey, we have sycamore trees in America." "Yeah, but I've got to stop and get a picture of that one," you know, and so forth. But maybe if you could share with us, Jeff, some of the sites that, you know, have been inspirational to you, because I really believe that as we get through this COVID and some of this loosens back up, that some of our friends are going to want to participate.
It's something that we would recommend to anybody in the ministry, and especially to pastors. We hear it all the time that a 10-day trip to Israel is equivalent to a semester in seminary.
Yes.
And it connects the dots.
Yeah.
It puts those mental pictures in your mind when you're reading the scripture that you just can't get any other way. And so for me, I guess, in addition to the Garden of Gethsemane, which is one of my favorite spots, especially in the morning,
yes,
we try as much as possible when we're scheduling a tour to make that the first stop of the day, when everyone's mind is clear, they're able to take in the events that have happened there before they get hungry for lunch or before they start thinking about other things in the day. And it can be a very, very special place as you take time to not only worship, but pray.
Yes.
Spend time with God there.
Amen. So,
That's definitely one of my favorites. Another one that I really like is the Sea of Galilee.
Yes.
On the Sea of Galilee, it's one of those few places where there's no church built over a monument. There's no gift shop. You know, it's just you're out on the water in a boat, and you can take in all the different miracles and everything that happened on the water.
Yeah.
And forgive me, I get...
That's okay. No, I totally understand that. I remember being on the Sea of Galilee and sensing there in that region that this is very much like it would have been in the time of Christ, because
yeah,
not very built up, and you know, you really have opportunity to just worship the Lord, and you know, to envision Him calling out the early disciples, you know. And of course, when you go to Cana right there, you can see the synagogue where Jesus spoke and where Peter and those early disciples were from. You just begin to sense this is where Christianity, you know, first started.
And you know, a believer doesn't need to go to Israel to confirm their faith,
yeah,
but boy, does it add elements to your faith that you can't imagine until you've gone.
Yes.
And so, yes, Magdala, the new site, they have a beautiful foundation of a synagogue they found there.
Mm-hmm.
The sites in and around that you see at Capernaum and Tabqa, and of course the Mount of Beatitudes, which is a special site. Those are all just faith-building experiences that you can't get any other place.
One thing that I'm still working on, and probably a few more trips will help, but is the layers of civilization, you know. And I remember having studied the Byzantine period, for example, in college. But when you go, like when we crossed the Sea of Galilee, we went over to Gadara, you know, and they were building the highway there along the Golan Heights, and discovered this, what would it be, 3rd century church. And this was amazing to me, that it's right there at the Sea of Galilee, but it had a baptistry.
Mm-hmm.
And things of that nature, to just stop and ponder, okay, the believers were identifying with Christ, and that was something they felt important enough to be in the church, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, going back the other way to go to some of the sites, such as Megiddo, where, you know, you're going back into Old Testament history as well. And it brings so much together to see what happened in one place through so many hundreds of years.
It is, and it's something that it's hard to take in on one trip. So we do as much as we can to prepare our customers before they get there.
Yes.
We've just finished a 4-week Bible study to help prepare them because the information is overwhelming. Even if you've been a lifelong Christian and you've been in Sunday school, you know, every Sunday of your life, there's information that you'll glean from the guides, from the sights, from seeing and smelling and tasting the different elements of Israel as you travel, that you can only get there, and once you get those, it just really completes the picture.
When you go to the top of the Sea of Galilee, and you know, maybe even toward the border of Lebanon there, and you come to the city of Dan, the ancient city of Dan, I was thinking about the Abraham Gate there. And was that even fully available to the public when you first started?
Not when I first started.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that when I started this, and I began in 1993, a lot of things that weren't fully excavated. And that gate at Tel Dan was one of those. The site of Magdala was one of those. And to see what's happened at Beit She'an and other sites over the years, there's almost too many things now to see in a 10-day tour.
Right.
And so now our challenge is figuring out exactly which items or which sites to visit with the time we have to make the most of the journey.
And I appreciate the fact that you kind of listen to a pastor and do your best to recommend counsel on the main sites and then hear what they might be interested in. And when you think about God calling Abraham and how he went up through Haran and Syria and then down and probably through that gate, and just the faith of Abraham, you know, and you, when you open your Bible at those sites and you discuss those things, again, it's amazing. And really life-changing for so many of us. One of the first stops we took with you was at Caesarea Philippi.
Okay.
Caesarea and then Caesarea Philippi.
Okay.
And when I saw, that was the first really kind of an ancient Roman city. Now, I've been since then to many other places that have ancient cities, but to think of the fresh water coming out from, Mount Hermon, I guess, coming all the way down and how they lived. And I believe that's where Paul stood before Agrippa. And Agrippa said, "Almost thou hast persuaded me." And you think of some of those moments and again, open the Word of God there and it touches your heart. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus said,
to Peter,
say that I am.
Right, and that's Peter, and told him he was the rock on which he built the church. So, Caesarea Maritima, which is on the coast, the Roman city you're mentioning. One of the interesting things about that site is what's called the Pilate Stone. So,
yes.
in excavations in the last 10 years, they found a stone there that mentions Pontius Pilate. Previous to the discovery of that stone, the only record of Pontius Pilate was in biblical text, and so the world had scoffed at the story being a fraud, that he was a made-up figure from ancient times. No, we have physical evidence that there was a man named Pontius Pilate who lived and was in that area.
And the beauty of the archaeology, and the study of archaeology bringing forth testament to our faith is also amazing. I suppose some of the sites in the West Bank, such as Jericho, you hear the term West Bank, you feel a little bit of the tension, but I found people to be very amenable and glad you were there. And then Bethlehem obviously was very, very special to me. And like you said, sometimes there's a church built over a site and you're kind of envisioning the countryside, but just to see the terraced hillsides and the sheep folds and to get the sense of how the country again would have looked for Joseph and Mary coming there, and to think of our Savior being laid probably in one of these concrete type troughs, it causes you to reflect on what Jesus did in the incarnation and how the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And it felt like not just Bible study, it felt worshipful at every stop.
I'm glad you say that, because that is the intent, right? You can travel to a lot of places in the world and have a great vacation, but not have that spiritual element. Right. And Israel's the kind of place that I wouldn't imagine anyone going there without a pastor to lead them, right, because they need that spiritual leadership there in at those sites to understand not only what happened, but how it applies to them today.
There was a tour guide that we had named Raouf, and you had linked us with him. And of course, you get a lot of friendships developed on these trips with the people you're taking, your tour guide, whoever. And Raouf had heard the gospel so many times because of traveling with Baptist preachers predominantly, and with one of them, and it may have been Jim Henry, I can't remember, but he actually asked why these people were being baptized at Jordan River, what does that stand for? And he had accepted Christ as his Savior. And we began to talk about how great that was. And he asked if we would go talk to his wife. And they were, of course, Palestinians, and she had been resisting. I'll never forget walking into that home. It was pretty amazing. They had the Palestinian flag and a picture of Yasser Arafat on their wall. And I don't know why, it just felt like, yep, I'm in a foreign country. And we sat there with that woman for probably 2 hours telling her about the incarnation, who Christ was, fully God, fully man, what he did, and really, trying to see her accept Christ. And she just was not ready. She was a little bit embarrassed. And I'll never forget, 2 weeks later, Raouf actually called me. And his wife had prayed and accepted Christ as her Savior. And that was a real highlight for us, was just even being a little small part of that. But the tour guides that you work with, they always amaze me. I mean, they frankly probably know more Old Testament history than a lot of us pastors.
They can quote a lot of scripture, and they do have to go through a multi-year training course in order to be accredited to be a guide. Mm-hmm. We specifically look for Christian guides.
Right.
Most of the Christian guides we work with are Arab. Mm-hmm. By background, some are Armenian, some are Palestinian. We do have some Messianic Jewish guides that we work with as well. But we look for those guides because they share our faith.
Right.
And it's one thing to just expound knowledge. It's another thing to share that knowledge with a faith element.
That's right. Well, Jeff, probably other than the Holy Land, probably the opportunity that we had to do the journeys of Paul a few years ago was really a highlight for us. And Terry and I have done some traveling, and missions-related traveling, and we've done some other types of touring in Europe and such. But to have the element of a relaxing time with friends, but getting up every morning, having breakfast, and then traveling somewhere where the Apostle Paul stood.
Right.
I mean, it was amazing. And for me as a pastor, having 40 or 50 of our folks to enjoy that together was really, really special. And when we went with you to, obviously Rome and Crete and Athens, and we stood there at Mars Hill in these different places. At Mars Hill, as you may recall, I preached to our group, and then more people came, and more people came. That was quite a day. And there was a couple that was with us. They were from Lancaster, but had not been members of our church. And they came up to me after I preached on Mars Hill, and they said, "We would like to talk to you about this more." And that night on the ship, I was able to lead Julian and his wife to Christ. And he was baptized last night at church.
Oh, wow.
And he waited a little while to get baptized because of wanting his wife to be baptized, and she's still shy. But I'm telling you, that was amazing, to see. It was another illustration of, it's not just a tour, it's God working at all these stops.
Yeah, that's an element of my job that never gets old. Hearing stories like that, that makes it very rewarding to know that just planning a trip can somehow affect someone's eternal life.
It does. And, we use discretion, but we were able to give gospel tracts in foreign countries to people. And I was able to lead a man to the Lord in Crete at a gift shop. And he just kind of started talking, and we emailed him a discipleship book, and so wherever you go, you let your light shine. But one of the things we did on that trip that I'll never forget, and I want to thank you for this, because I contacted you ahead of time and I said, "Look, I've been studying this little village of Gortine, I think is how you say it, on Crete, kind of I guess it would be southern Crete facing toward Libya across the sea." And I've always loved the pastoral epistles. And of course, Paul told Titus, I want you to go to Crete and set in order the things that are wanting. And that's kind of my love for the ministry is the preaching, but the administration. And apparently there had been a lot of believers saved in Jerusalem that migrated back to Crete. They really didn't have pastors trained. They really didn't have order in the church. And so Titus, his job, like Timothy, his contemporary, was to find and establish elders or pastors in these churches. So one of the cities, Gortyne, as I continued reading about it, this city, the Roman Emperor Decius came through there about 251 and demanded that all the population bow to him as God. And there were 10 men that refused, and they were pastors. They were spiritual descendants of Titus, and they would not bow. And so I shared that story with you, and we took a ride over. I guess you have a closer port now.
Well, yeah, you brought something to my attention that I was not aware of, the story, the site. Yeah. And so it gave me a chance to learn about a new site and experience it with you, which was just a real blessing.
It was awesome. We had to hunt a little bit, if you remember. We finally found the Colosseum. They had the ancient Greek alphabet there. I believe it was the oldest form of law in the world recorded. And that was an amazing tablet. And then the burial place of those 10 pastors. And they had the Church of Titus there. And just, again, walking around. And for me, to think that those pastors were willing to die for their faith.
The
10 martyrs of Crete. You can look it up on Google. It's an amazing story. And of course, we train young pastors here at West Coast Baptist College. And this is a day when there's so much compromise. I mean, pastors are kind of shelving the gospel and going woke and calling that the gospel, or getting into, you know, the social justice theology and different things. And instead of standing, many times they're accommodating to the world or acquiescing. And I remember just praying there, you know, first of all, Lord, help me to stand, and then help me to train men like Titus did, who these were probably the descendants of those first pastors. But I would pray that 100 years from now, 200 years from now, that people who could trace a spiritual lineage back to this place would still be standing if Jesus tarried in his coming. And that was a great, great day. The other thing that we did, if you might recall, you and I, we the group went out to Naples, and amazing tour there. And then I said, you know, I read that there was a place where Paul actually launched in and took the Appian Way up into Rome. We went and found that site as well together. And those types of journeys, just, they don't validate your faith, because you have faith in the Word of God. But they give a robust understanding of Scripture.
They do. And it's great to explore and find those new sites that some are forgotten to time, and see what has happened. What did previous believers do? How did they view the gospel, and what did it mean to them, and how did they commemorate the events that happened, you know, in their lives? So
it's so rewarding. And and I'm excited about going on the Journeys of Paul trip again about a year from right now. I think it's the last week of September, first week of October. And I'd like you to talk to some of our friends about that, because we want to invite them to join with us. And of course, you stand ready to help pastors anytime, going anywhere, but biblically speaking and such. But we'd like to invite folks to join with us. I'll be leading this tour. I'll be teaching at the sites. We have some good friends already going with us. Brother Scott Wendell from Valley Forge Baptist Temple will be sharing with me and some of the teaching, and several other pastors. But tell us about the itinerary of the Journeys of Paul, and how that this is kind of a time of biblical study combined with relaxation and fellowship.
So in doing a Journeys of Paul tour, it's kind of hard to hit everything, because Paul really got
journeyed
around.
Yeah, he got around. Yeah,
he made a lot of trips. Yeah. And most of the sites are coastal sites, or they're in the middle of the Aegean or the northern Mediterranean. And so the best way we found to do it is to look for itineraries that hit the highlights of his journeys. And so we're looking for cruises that are going to incorporate the cities of Rome, Athens, and Ephesus. those being the three major stops of his journeys. And so what we found is a cruise that starts in Rome and ends in Athens. And the great thing about that is not only can we do a couple days in Rome before the tour, take advantage of seeing the wonderful sights there of the Colosseum and the Pantheon and the Spanish Steps and Trevi Fountain, world-class sights that anybody would want to see. Right. But we'll also be seeing the Mamertine Prison, St. Paul Outside the Walls, and those Pauline sites that are specific to Paul, and we'll be learning more about him while we're there.
Right.
From there, we'll then get on the ship and head into the Mediterranean, cruising towards Athens. We'll pick up some stops along the way, Naples, Crete, and then we'll stop in Turkey before we get to Athens. And in Turkey, we'll be doing both Istanbul and the site of Ephesus, which is a wonderful world-class site, not only for the ruins, but for us believers, the Pauline events that happened there.
Absolutely.
His stand for Christ against Diana, mm-hmm. and all that happened there. He spent a lot of time in Ephesus.
Yes.
And while we're there, by the way, we'll also see the ruins of the Basilica of St. John, where he is thought to be buried, mm-hmm. in a nearby town. But from there, we then travel on, after stopping at a beautiful Greek island of Mykonos, to the port of Athens.
Yes.
And by ending the cruise in Athens, it gives us the ability to not only tour Athens and see the Parthenon and the ruins and the museums of Athens, but we'll also take a day trip out to Corinth.
Which is amazing.
The Bema Seat.
Yeah, the Bema Seat, boy, that's another place where, you know, you look up to the hill above and you think of the pagan idolatry that took place there in Corinth, and then you look to the Bema Seat and you're mindful you're going to see Christ someday. The thing that amazed me at Corinth, too, was how kept those ruins were. Again, they had a Byzantine church there that was just sort of intact, and so many Christian symbols that were there as well. And I'm so glad that you've got Corinth in this trip, because it's going to really be a blessing.
It was an added benefit with this itinerary, and so the total trip is about a 13-day tour. Mm-hmm. We're still kind of in the planning stages, as it's a little more than a year out. It's September 28th to October the 10th of 22,
okay.
But we'll have pricing soon. Information can be found online.
And they would, if someone's interested in this trip, and it's a trip of a lifetime, I don't know that we've ever had something that had the accommodation level and the biblical sites like we saw together, and put that together with being with great people and having some services on board the ship, and then having Bible studies throughout each day. And it was a blessing. And
your teaching is what makes the trip work, because without it, you're just seeing a bunch of rocks.
Right.
And so, you know, yeah. As my daughter once told me, Dad, what are all these rocks about? Why do you keep showing me rocks?
Yeah.
So, no, with your teaching both on the ship to prepare us before we get off at the sites, and then your teaching on site, as an example, at Mars Hill,
yeah.
where you'll address Paul's sermon about the unknown God, there's no way to replicate that in a church somewhere.
Right.
From doing it on site, on that same stone, overlooking the same cityscape that Paul would have been addressing to the elders of that area.
Well, and you, like at Ephesus, you know, you kind of walk down the forum there, and they have amazing archaeological digs there as well, with the terraced housing, and you kind of see how people lived even prior to the first century. And then you come down to that Celsius Library, which is amazing. And I think we'll be able to speak to the group right in the Colosseum.
We're hoping to do it in the actual Great Theater.
Grand Theater.
Yeah.
And so, you're living in the Bible history there.
Yeah.
But then to have really good meals. My wife's favorite thing about the cruise is that she unpacks one time. It's not like you're going hotel, 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 hotel.
Yeah.
That really helps as well. And if we go to templetontours.com, and then they would just search for
Paul Chapel, yeah. Paul and Terry Chapel.
On that main page, they'll see a link to the Journeys of Paul. That's going to be going up in the next 2 weeks as we're finalizing the pricing.
And I do want to just say right now that if you would enjoy Bible study tour, as well as maybe just a great time with your spouse or maybe another single friend or whatever the case might be, as far as I think we can have, you know, we've had like a couple single gals from our church that shared a room, and there's different ways to make the arrangements. And that's where Templeton is just such a blessing to kind of advise on room selections, and they help with flights and get all the luggage where we need to have the luggage, and answer questions about vaccinations and other such exciting things. But templetontours.com will have a lot of that for you. And we're giving 1 year notice on this, because for two reasons. This will fill quickly. I think we only have 100 spots.
Space for 100.
So I think it's going to fill quickly. We want you to jump on the website and get registered. And then secondly, we want everyone to have time both to save financially and just to prepare. Like Jeff said, even studying some of the booklets that you'll receive, some of the material we'll send you to say, okay, I'm going to be here. I want to study Acts 17. I want to know what happened at Mars Hill, or you know, and so forth. So I love studying Acts 20 when Paul sailed to Miletus, and you kind of go by the general area of Miletus on the way into Ephesus, and you can envision, wow, the pastors came out to that island and met Paul, and they talked about the work at Ephesus and how that after his departing, grievous wolves would enter in, and he was training and warning them, and it's amazing. And so we encourage you, if you're interested in a Bible study tour like this, to get signed up. And if not, let me encourage you to know that these types of opportunities are more than a vacation. They're a time for revolutionary life change. And I wanted to share this with you because most of us have felt a little pent up the last 19 months. And it's still a little awkward knowing how this all plays out, but it's playing out. And I believe the pandemic is going to become an endemic, and we're going to be on the other side of that. And this is the time to optimistically start planning. And perhaps there'll be a few friends with you in your church that would like to participate with you, and we'd love to host you and get to know you better. Many of you that have listened to this podcast or watched this podcast, this is a great opportunity to meet up and grow together. And so, Jeff, thank you for what you do at Templeton Tours. Thank you for your friendship to our family, to Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. And we'll look forward to this Journeys of Paul. You can contact us at Lancaster Baptist, and we'll be glad to mail you copies of this. Jeff's provided a few hundred or maybe 1,000 or so of these. We've got plenty to send to you. And then, of course, it'll give you the full itinerary, as well as some of the fine print stuff, and help you to be able to register this way, or really just go online and make it a little bit easier that way. We do want you to know that we appreciate your faithfulness to the Lord, and we're excited about what God's doing here, and we're hearing reports of people being saved and baptized in different works across the country, and we look forward to sharing some more with you next month. Thank you for spreading the word about the Spiritual Leadership Podcast. And again, if you have interest in a Bible Lands tour, contact us here at Lancaster Baptist Church. Go to the website at Templeton Tours. And Jeff, thanks again for being with us today.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Amen.